The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
There's always that, like, where your stomach drops on a roller coaster where you're like, is it gonna be safe? Am I gonna land? Am I gonna come out of this? But you'll never know until you jump. And what I always tell people, even when they come to visit, whether it's at Mundelein or I hear anybody on the street talking about their vocation, I say, what's stopping you right now from doing it? If God was standing right here and he said, follow me, people always say they wanna, if God would just tell me what he wants me to do, I would do it. How many times I've heard that? How many times I've said that? But in reality, you need more than that. Because even if God came to you, you would probably talk your way out of it.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Wow, what a powerful quote from Father Menard at Mundelein Seminary outside Chicago. If you were standing in front of God and he said, follow me, would you? Good afternoon, John Harper filling in for Drew this afternoon. I'm hopeful you felt the warmth of God's love in your life today and have shared that with someone else. You and I, of course, in our public prayer, in our private prayer, we pray for vocations, that more young men respond to God's call to the priesthood, more young women accept his invitation to the consecrated life. And this hour on the Drew Mariani Show, it's a focus on vocations from the small Catholic college that has produced 104 priests to the dual call of service to God and country. Later in this hour, a very familiar voice to you, Father Marcel Tyone, on his new role as vocations director for the Archdiocese of Military Services. And later, we'll give you details on a very powerful Eucharistic procession that will take place in the nation's capital, how you can be a part of it. And we'll look at your money. Peter Grandich is here with us today, the former Wall Street whiz kid, and he's going to tell you why you should be building your financial ark right now. you got the wood, Maggie, to start building that ark?
And, not yet.
Okay, exactly. And how does it stay afloat if I bring all those rolls of pennies with me? But anyway, we'll find out. And it's an interesting way to be prudent with the providence that God has given you. We'll also pray the chaplet this afternoon for your intentions. Let's get you caught up to date on a couple of things going on. It's a very busy day for Donald Trump. Actually, his lawyers, he's got one set of lawyers working for him in New York and the other in Washington, D.C., one group of attorneys in New York on the hush money cover-up trial, and the other team is in Washington pushing for his claim for total immunity, and that's before the Supreme Court.
I'm very disappointed as a senior who also was a senior in high school during the pandemic. It's part two of my graduations just being canceled after working very hard.
That's a student at the University of Southern California. Now, the protests continue over the Israeli-Gaza war on college campuses today. 400 people have been detained on dozens of campuses all across the country. Police in riot gear were deployed to the campus of Ohio State University in Columbus. Right now, as we speak, there are protesters in Chicago setting up tents at Northwestern University. They're all demanding that their individual schools divest from companies that profit from ties to Israel. Now, that student at the University of Southern California, which says, we are canceling commencement ceremonies. Why? Fear of demonstrations, disruptions during the ceremony. I'm sure there will be more that will be added to that list, but think about this. Think about this, Maggie. She was a senior in high school in 2020. No high school graduation because of COVID. 4 years later, no college graduation because of the demonstrations.
Oh, no.
Think of that. And this is going to happen in more and more colleges, and we'll continue to follow that story here on Relevant Radio. They're talking about Ukraine today over at the Pentagon. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin addressing the 21st meeting of the Ukraine Defense Contact Group.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ukraine's struggle for freedom matters to us all.
If Ukraine
fell under Putin's boot, Europe would fall under Putin's shadow.
And Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky said, we continue to need support from the United States.
They know how to win. They must win. But Ukrainian defenders need your sufficient and timely support.
And the support that the Russian army gets from China was on the table because Secretary of State Antony Blinken was in China. He is in China right now meeting with President Xi. And both men talked about progress. Yes, there are progress on a number of issues, including working together on the spread of artificial intelligence, working on trade policies, Taiwan, and of course, China's support for Russia.
We'll do what's necessary to ensure that American workers can compete on a level playing field. America's actions are not aimed at holding back China's development, nor are we decoupling our economies.
So there's a lot to talk about, not only China's involvement in the Ukraine-Russian war, but of course, the economy, because our economy obviously is tied so much to the Chinese economy, now the number one economy in the world. Did you see Pope Francis on the news the other night? You know, you talk about those providential moments of the Holy Spirit. Not a fan of the CBS Evening News. And by 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night, chances are you and I have been exposed to so much news on our smartphones, on so many other devices, that it really is kind of old news by the time the traditional network broadcasts come on the air. So the TV was on CBS, and there's the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, and there she's standing in St. Peter's Square. Well, the Holy Father sat down with Nora O'Donnell, who anchors the CBS Evening News. This was his first extended interview with the U.S. network. This was the moment they met.
Oh, my goodness. Buongiorno, Your Holiness. What an honor. So wonderful to meet you. Love to meet you. Yes. Thank you so much for doing this.
They covered a lot of territory. They talked about war, peace, famine, climate change. Pope is calling for peace in the Mideast. He's condemned the Hamas October 7th attack on Israel and called on Israel to use restraint.
There are now pictures of starving children coming out of Gaza. What about those that call that a genocide?
Genocidio.
Genocide. Every afternoon at 7 p.m., I call Gaza to the parish. There are about 600 people there, and they tell me what's going on. It's very hard. Very, very hard. Food goes in, but they have to fight for it. It's very hard.
I know you call for peace. You have called for a ceasefire in many of your sermons. Can you help negotiate peace?
I can pray. I do. I pray a lot.
And we all pray for that peace. Nora O'Donnell went on to ask the Holy Father if he had a message for Vladimir Putin about the war in Ukraine.
Por favor.
Please.
In los países en guerra.
Countries at war, all of them.
Detengan la guerra. Busquen.
Stop the war. Look to negotiate. Look for peace. A negotiated peace is better than a war without end.
Nora O'Donnell touched on a lot of topics in her extended interview with the Holy Father, issues of abortion and contraception, same-sex marriage, those issues that are front and center for us as Catholics here in the United States. And the Pope also urged us as Catholics here in the U.S. not to run away from the church. His message to those who have fallen away from their faith: come home. There is, and we're quoting the Holy Father here, room for everyone. And you've heard Pope Francis use that term, room for everyone, many times. The longer version of that interview with Pope Francis will air on 60 Minutes and then a one-hour primetime special coming up on May 20th. And thank you, CBS News, for letting us use that audio this afternoon here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We're talking about vocations. That's our focus in this hour of the broadcast, the need for priestly vocations. For many of you, it's your pastor who may be the pastor of several parishes, and that's certainly the norm in many rural areas across the United States. It's also becoming more commonplace in urban areas. Why? Well, it's the simple need for vocations. And we're finding them, sometimes in very hidden places. Matt Lamb has been on the trail of priestly vocations across the United States. He joins us now on Relevant Radio. Matt is the associate editor of The College Fix, online at thecollegefix.com. Matt, it's good to have you here to share some positive news of vocations. Where have you found those vocations?
Thanks for having me. So the College Fix has covered three colleges so far where we've seen a good amount of priests come from those schools. And that would be Franciscan University of Steubenville, Thomas Aquinas College, and Christendom College. These are quality, authentically Catholic colleges. And what's also interesting is that they have small enrollment, which appears to contribute to their high success rate in not only priests, but also brothers, religious sisters, consecrated virgins, other religious vocations.
And also when we talk about vocations, and this is something that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this time frame, but over the last 10 or 15 years, because we've had this conversation many times on Relevant Radio, the young men, just focusing on the priesthood right now, the young men coming into the priesthood are much more, and I hate to use these labels, but it's appropriate in this conversation, traditional in their approach to the church.
Absolutely. There was a survey that came out a couple months ago, and I'm sorry, I don't remember from what group specifically, that found that they are more orthodox, to use an even worse word maybe, in their...
No, that's a better word.
In their beliefs, small o orthodox, of course. And,
right.
And if you look at these colleges, these are the ones that are traditionally faithful to the Catholic teachings. And I will also say that I think the small enrollment does help people, because we do know from numerous surveys, I'm sure you've covered this on the show before, but that one of the main factors in someone choosing to pursue the priesthood is if someone, but specifically if a priest, asks them if they've ever considered becoming a priest. So you can imagine at a college like Thomas Aquinas, where there's only a couple hundred students, if there's three or four priests, they're going to really get to know the students well. And so it's easier in that smaller setting to, you know, ask them to consider the priesthood, to do a vocational retreat, to spend a holy hour of adoration praying for vocations. And I do think that pays off, as we can see in the numbers.
Matt Lamb, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm using a broad brush here, but with these young men who are being attracted to the priesthood, and you've talked about the success of Thomas Aquinas and Franciscan and other small Catholic colleges around the country, they get ordained, and now they go, as we know many priests in the state of Minnesota, I'm using that as an example, in the outlying areas of the dioceses in the state of Minnesota, a priest may be the pastor of five different parishes. So you have a newly ordained priest who may be assigned to one of those parishes, or who's only been a priest for less than 10 years, how can he then go and foster vocations at a time when he's just simply keeping all the plates spinning?
Exactly. And that's one of the harder things for sure. And there is high burnout. I'm trying to find that report, but it did also talk about you do have new priests or relatively new priests who they end up having three, you know, mission parishes, mission sites, worship sites that they're overseeing. And I do think it is tough. However, there is a certain amount of scale because you can have regular holy hours, for example, where you bring together everyone. You could have a retreat. I know in my Diocese of Gary, they do regular retreats where they bring young men and they have them go on a vocation retreat for a few days. I also saw something they did a while ago that I thought was a great idea. They asked the pastors to recommend young men in their parish that might be good candidates for the priesthood. And some of these people might be sophomores or juniors in high school, but they are starting to hopefully think about their future. One of those surveys also said that while priests often find the priesthood because someone suggested they consider it, many of them have not, perhaps it's because of being overworked, talked to young men about considering the priesthood. So I think one of the first things priests can do is really just ask, you know, find those young men that are intelligent, they seem well put together, articulate, the traits we would want in a priest, and just get them thinking about the priesthood in a variety of ways, books, retreats, holy hours.
We're talking about vocations here in the United States, specifically vocations to becoming a priest, as we pray that more young men answer God's call to become a priest. Our guest is Matt Lamb, the associate editor of thecollegefix.com. You mentioned being in the Diocese of Gary. He is now the shepherd of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, but your former shepherd, Bishop Donald Hying, always talks about hearing the call to the priesthood while he was, as he said, he got promoted. He worked at a place that sold fried chicken. And he had just gotten promoted. These are the bishops. He had just gotten promoted to cleaning the grease traps. It is now after midnight on a Saturday night into a Sunday morning, and the radio is on, and he's listening to the all-news station in Chicago, and they play some audio of Pope St. John Paul II at World Youth Day in Denver. And there was something about that message and the Holy Spirit at work at the grease trap at the restaurant on the radio with a young man by the name of Donald Hying, who then went on to become a priest, and he's now the shepherd of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. So I love telling that story because, again, you never know how or when the Holy Spirit's going to intervene, and you just hear something that clicks with you, Matt.
Exactly. And I think one benefit recent younger priests, I think they've been heavily influenced by the late Pope Benedict, of course. They have a lot of great resources in the past 20 years, because a lot of these new priests, I'm 30, so I'm roughly the age of a lot of these newer priests. And we can think of, you know, Relevant Radio. They maybe grew up with Mother Angelica, watching old Bishop Fulton Sheen videos, Catholic Answers. We can name plenty of good resources available to these young priests. And is that intellectual movement? I think the pro-life movement does contribute a lot to religious vocations. There's something about putting yourself out there, standing up for what is right, even if it's not always popular on some college campuses. I think the pro-life view is probably popular on these colleges we've mentioned so far, that really can maybe awaken the Holy Spirit in people who want to be priests.
You know, when you do the math on that, and I don't mean to age him, but Father Rocky, our executive director, is someone who would be added to that list, because I've been a part of the Relevant Radio family now for 10 years. And it was years before that, as a listener to Relevant Radio, there was this priest called Father Rocky who approached faith in such a different way. And it was so magnetic, because it's like, hey, here's a guy who's, you know, lived the kind of life and understands what I'm going through. So if you were a listener to Relevant Radio, if mom was taking you to school and you were 12, that was 10 years ago, you may be in seminary now at age 22 because of Father Rocky.
Exactly. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, so we don't know exactly, you know, when someone will receive that call, but it is good to, in the home especially, surround your children with, you know, with resources, encourage them to consider the priesthood. I mean, I have two sons, and I've named them both after priests. When my wife had our second son, I bought her a Mary. I guess it'd be Mary Patroness of Priests, you know, Byzantine art. So we, of course, don't want to force any vocation on our children, but to encourage them to be open to those vocations, I think also pays off.
Yeah, and having that conversation, because it's the duty of mom. I'm not a parent, but it really is the duty of moms and dads to have that conversation about vocations, and because we're talking obviously about the domestic church, where the faith is first taught. In the home, at ages 3 and 4, when you're teaching your kids the basic prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and other things, and starting to take them to Mass. So you need to have that conversation. And our conversation now with Matt Lamb, the associate editor of the College Fix, as we're talking about priestly vocations. Curious, do you have vocations in your family? How do you talk to your kids about a potential vocation, the call to the priesthood, or answering the invitation to the religious life if you have a daughter? 888-914-9149. Do you have vocations in your family? Vocations to the priesthood or religious life? 888-914-9149. Or perhaps you're going through that discernment process right now. 888-914-9149 to join us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We pray for vocations. It's part of our prayer of the faithful every week at our parish. As a matter of fact, every day at Mass, we pray for vocations. And I'm sure you do that in your parish and parishes happening all across the country. What is the state of vocations right now, aside from these islands at Thomas Aquinas and Steubenville? You know, what do we need to make sure that the church is as robust as possible going forward in the next two generations?
Right. We need to continue to pray for more priests, continue to, you know, educate our kids. You're asking about vocations of the family. In our front room, I have a picture of my great uncle, who was a priest actually out of Marmion Abbey in Aurora. And then he went to Guatemala. It's actually who my second son is named after. And so I think the more we surround our kids, as well as maybe you don't have kids, or maybe you have daughters, maybe your kids are grown up. But maybe as you see those young men in your parish that, like we said, you know, appear to have the traits of what you would want in a priest, encouraging them, or, you know, talking to their parents, you know, encouraging them to maybe go on a retreat, to talk to a priest that you know that you think would be a good mentor, and just to plant that idea in their head.
And you know what we're also seeing, thanks be to God, Matt, is institutions of high schools like Chesterton Academy in the Twin Cities and other similar places where across the country that have high schools where they are teaching a true classical education, classical Catholic education. And I happen to live in a community that has not one but three of them. And many of those altar servers are in our parish. And there's one altar server who is a junior at one of these Catholic academies. And I always joke with him, saying, I'm going to introduce you to Patrick Madrid, and I'm putting both of you on Catholic Apologetics Jeopardy. They're teaching these kids, starting in the eighth grade, apologetics. And that young man at age, what, maybe 16, he's a junior in high school, is as good as it gets. And I've said to him, I said, you're going to be a priest someday. There's just something about him. But I've met other kids from these schools, and it's just amazing how on fire they are for their faith. And that gives you great hope.
Absolutely. I'll say, actually, we're trying to start a Chesterton Academy out here. And I was at a meeting, and there was a mom sitting next to me, and we were going through the curriculum. And she said, well, this kind of looks like a seminary curriculum. And it's like, well, yeah, it should. In fact, that's a good benefit of the Chesterton, Regina Chaley, other classically oriented schools. I think it's Thomas Aquinas College where one of the people there told us, we actually specifically structure our school, and it's a co-ed school, but we structure it in a way like a seminary. And so I think that does help. And there's a benefit to the female students as well, because learning those things, and if they pursue the religious life, or they become mothers and they can hopefully raise sons mm-hmm. that become priests. We have to think about, if we want priests in 50 years, it's the women in college now, the men in college now, that are going to raise those priests right. 50 years because of how long it takes them to grow up and go through seminary.
Talking about priestly vocations with Matt Lamb, who is the associate editor of the College Fix online at thecollegefix.com. James, joining our conversation, listening to Relevant Radio 1620 in Sacramento. James, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your time.
And your question.
I had a question. So I have a daughter on the way. We have a 7-year-old daughter, and we have a 6-year-old son. He just turned 6. And I guess my question is, what about dads who are kind of on the fence or uncomfortable with your, could potentially be our only son, entering priesthood when you have that natural inclination for them to continue their family name and to marry and have that unionship? I went to all boys Catholic boarding school in Southern California, and there's Norbertine. I remember that when I was in eighth grade, there was a senior there who entered the Norbertine order, which is not super common. It's a very strict, it's a very hard road. And he was certain. I remember asking him, I was an eighth grader, and I said, are you sure you want to do that? And he said, yeah. And he kind of laughed at me like, of course. And he became ordained, and then it didn't work out in the long run. And I never kind of forgot that. And I know that's a singular case, but I just, what could you give information for dads like myself who may or may not want them, but don't want to discourage either?
How would you empower James, Matt? What would you say?
Well, he's been a dad longer than I have, so take my advice with a grain of salt. But this is something I've thought about. And I would say that, I mean, one of the best things we can do, I think, to the church is offer up our children. And I know that could be tough because it could be the family name. It could be future grandchildren. But what I would say is that imagine you die and, you know, imagine you're dying and you have 5 sons that can come and, you know, give you last rites, hear your confession. Imagine you're in purgatory and you have 5 sons who are saying masses for you. I mean, that is a benefit beyond having your name go on or having grandkids. I mean, I know of a family that a lot of your listeners probably know. I won't name them, but they have one daughter who's a nun, and I frankly think their son should become a priest, which would mean they wouldn't have any grandkids. But imagine having those spiritual benefits of your daughter being a religious sister and praying for you, your son being able to say masses for you. And that's, you cannot calculate the value. There's no tangible value of that.
That's a pretty powerful answer, James, isn't it? And how you can become a witness to your son.
I do. I just think it's such a young age. Not that it's not possible. Obviously, thousands and thousands of people have done it, but it's just,
right.
It just weighs on me that they could, as they mature, meet a woman and feel very different and then feel that major confliction inside, and maybe they don't want to shame their family or do something. And I think it's a lot of pressure. So I guess I weigh that for my son already has this inclination towards prayer. He's the one that reminds us to pray when we eat and before bed and everything. And I'm like, he's only six, and he may not go that route, or he may I want to have some discernment myself on how to navigate that, I guess.
Well, I'll give you a quick story. When I was four, my favorite blanket was a green blanket. And when Father Al came over to bless my mom and dad's first house, this tiny little Cape Cod, I put the blanket around me because, well, first of all, it was ordinary time. And it was green. And I always remember Father Al with his green vestments. And he said to me, you know, one of these days you're going to be my assistant. That's never left me, lo, these many years later. But I think your witness is going to be so powerful to your son. And of course, the Holy Spirit, as you know, will never let you down. And just praying to the Holy Spirit and just guiding him with your very powerful witness. He is blessed to have you as a dad. And you have also empowered so many dads listening to this conversation. God bless you, James. Thanks for being a part of the show today.
Thanks for your time.
James in Sacramento, California. And Matt, thanks for leading us in such a great conversation. We'll put up on X the link to Matt's article on Franciscan University and also Thomas Aquinas and these other small Catholic colleges that have been so fundamental in turning out so many priestly vocations of late. And of course, you can see the College Fix online at thecollegefix.com. Matt, thanks. God bless.
Thanks for having me.
And we continue our conversation on vocations, and we'll take it one step further in service of God and country as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
With flexible premium life insurance by sponsor Catholic Order of Foresters, a 40-year-old can get $1 million coverage for under $19 monthly. Go to relevantradio.com/Forrester. That's relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
And I'll be singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or not, yeah, I'll be singing.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
On this Friday afternoon, I'm hopeful that you're singing hallelujah after a blessed week. John Harper in for Drew this afternoon on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Think for a moment about your pastor or a priest in your life who's had a profound impact on you or who is helping you stay on that path to heaven right now. Priests who touch many lives, bring the Lord's goodness to souls. They do that every single day. That's happening in your parish right now. And you have access to those priests, and perhaps it's as easy as a phone call. But that's a different story for 1.8 million men, women, and children around the world. For the men and women in the United States Armed Forces, priests, chaplains of all faiths bring pastoral ministries and spiritual services to more than 200 installations. 29 countries around the globe, plus 152 VA medical centers and federal employees serving the USA in 134 countries. The Archdiocese of Military Services is a creation of Pope St. John Paul II. It's 30 years old. And that need for young men to not only serve God, but serve their country as military chaplains is as urgent as ever. We are blessed to bring you a familiar voice, a member of our Relevant Radio family, now charged with building the ranks of Catholic military chaplains. Father Marcel Tyone has just started in his new mission as the Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Military Services. Father, it's good to have your voice back here on Relevant Radio. Tell us about this brand new role and the discernment that took place that brought you from years as a priest of the Diocese of Providence, the pastor at St. Thomas More Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, to this new chapter in your life as a priest.
Well, I'm blessed to be. It's called a vocation director, so it's the priest assigned to walk with anyone who's discerning to be a military chaplain in any military branch in the United States. And now I'm a member of what's called the Archdiocese Military Services, and people might not know it's a global archdiocese, so every Catholic who's serving in the military on a military base, installation, VA hospitals, Pentagon, anybody in an American service anywhere that is Catholic is part of the Archdiocese. So part of that is serving them the sacraments of Jesus Christ And so the Lord has really called me away from my parish, great parish, away from my diocese, but to be in this diocese, this archdiocese, to serve him. And I've been really hit the ground running. I've been really going around the country visiting. I think I've met about 18 of our 47 seminarians in the last 2 weeks, trying to get them in before their year's done. And these are men who are in regular seminaries in the United States, what they call co-sponsored. So the archdiocese funds half of their tuition, room, and board. They are in a regular seminary formation program. They follow the regular priestly formation of every other Dawson seminarian, but they're co-sponsored. So they get ordained. They go to a Dawson parish 3 full years. Then they come to the branch of the military that they've also been preparing for and serve at least 5 years. And then at that point, they would kind of discern, go back to the diocese or stay in the military. So we have many priests that are, we're co-sponsored. I just met one today in Lansing, Michigan, who's 2 years down in the parish, got another year to go, and then he'll join U.S. Navy as a chaplain. He's enthusiastic. He's faithful and just also very inspiring. So this is my new role. And the other big thing I do, probably the other thing that's even more important, is to be with people that are discerning to come into the seminary for the military archdiocese co-sponsored. So we just had a retreat in Menlo Park Seminary, California, 3 weeks ago. We had 27 people show up, a large number, many of them active duty soldiers who all came together, who all love Christ, who are praying, some from the military academies, some from active duty, and some major seminarians discerning with their bishop's permission to come into the military archdiocese co-sponsorship program. So I'll be honest with you, it's really busy, but it's been beautiful because there are so many men studying. And I think the percentage is that last year in the United States, 25%, and maybe even a little higher, of all priests ordained in the Catholic Church last year were either military members themselves or from military families. So we might say in a short-term way that the military is the largest feeder of the priesthood in the United States at this time, and it's the largest millennial organization in the world. And also, of course, there's well over 1.5 million Catholics in the archdiocese, and every single diocese in the country has people in the military. So our archdiocese really serves people from every diocese in the country and in some sense throughout the world. So it's a very global, we say Catholics universal. I think the archdiocese military is really universal, and there's such a need today. I think one of the reasons you asked me at the top here, how did I get here? Well, the reality is that the former vocation director, Father Matthew Gray, was actually deployed very suddenly to the Middle East because of all the challenges that our military is facing today in this very complex world we live in. So I think in some ways, the world conflicts and the need for military chaplains has led to me, a civilian, becoming to this position to help and support, as I do, soldiers, military, in our country in this way. So I'm honored to serve in this way. I'm not in the military. A lot of people get confused about that. But again, I think the fact, how did this happen? I think that's the big question, because our vocation director was deployed, and there's such a radical need for chaplains in the immediacy that that's how I got in this position. I think the world in which we live, Jesus brought me to this position so there can be one less chaplain deployed, and I can stay here and walk with our brothers, our men, who are so good that want to be priests and serve our country.
It's that double call to God and to country. And you talk about that radical need, Father Tyone. There are only, what, over 200, just a little over 200 Roman Catholic priests that are endorsed by the Archdiocese for active military service. That seems so few to be deployed across the world.
It is. So actually, I think it's even a little less than that. Of course, we have other priests helping us locally, but it's not the same thing, right? So you imagine many, many of our Catholics around the world have no access to the sacraments. Imagine you're deployed and you're in an active combat situation, and there's no absolution for you, there's no Eucharist, there's no father, no spiritual father present for you. And, you know, it's really hard. I hear that a lot from soldiers. I know when people found out I got this position, they're thrilled because they really had powerful experiences with Jesus and the sacraments while they were serving, even some from long ago, some from just recently. And others had this terrible hunger where they couldn't have a priest with them. You think of a Navy destroyer, you know, out in the Mediterranean, full of thousands of souls. And if there's no priest on that destroyer or on any big ship or any ship, there's not going to be the sacraments because they can't go to a land parish like others, some of our installations. So it's a radical need. I would say it's the diocese has the biggest need for priests in the immediacy. And of course, we have a lot of good help from local priests, local dioceses, bishops that help kind of cover our bases and other installations and places. But we really need, there's nothing like the, you know, a Catholic priest deployed with his troops or on consistently on an installation with the family members left behind and all the problems and challenges that come with serving in the military. you know, a Catholic priest is obviously he brings a great something special, not only to the Catholics, but our chaplains also serve, obviously, people of every faith and work with other chaplains, of course. But for we who believe the Eucharist is God, we know Jesus is Lord. I think our service men and women deserve, if you will, they deserve what they're doing for us to be safe here. They deserve to have priests with them. So I ask, if you listen to this program today, say a prayer, not only for local church vocations, but also for the Archdiocese, and pray for our chaplains, all of those we have. And we have wonderful, again, 47 seminarians. We have 6 men in application. I can tell you several of the Menlo Park guys and soldiers are already indicating that they want to be co-sponsored. And so that's in process as well. And I got 2 calls today from soldiers in active out in the country, one in Kentucky, one in Arkansas. They called and they're Catholics. They go to daily mass. They're active military and they feel called to consider priesthood. So they just call. A chaplain gives them our number and they call. So this happens every day. So there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of people interested, but we got to get the information out and get the prayer out. And of course, get them to meet each other, build fraternity. Among this, how do you build fraternity in a global archdiocese? That's always going to be a challenge, but it's a challenge that I think that we're meeting in the programs and the ways that we do things.
You recognize a very familiar voice here on Relevant Radio. It is the voice of Father Marcel Tyone for years on Go Ask Your Father and on the Morning Air Show. And now the vocations director for the Archdiocese for Military Services in that role only a few weeks, and just talking about the need for young men to serve, as we were saying, both God and country. I'm lucky because I came from a parish that had a lot of priests who gave a military service, either going in or coming out of the service, coming back to the parish, 2 brigadier generals and someone, Father Walter Seacamp, who's now gone home to the Lord, who served in the United States Navy. And I'll never forget him telling me the story about celebrating Mass in the Arctic Circle. I don't know how many degrees it was below zero, on the hood of a Jeep.
And that's what we have. That happens every day, and praise God for him. And there's so many others, I think. And, you know, it's great. Now, you make a point, right? You met him in your parish. So military chaplains, they begin in parish ministry, and they end back in the diocese, back in the regular sort of diocese. So there's no such thing as a military chaplain that is not also part of a diocese or religious community. And most of the world, I think, doesn't know that. But your testimony that you met him in a parish, he came back to a parish, is exactly what I'm hoping more people understand. So they understand that military chaplains are loaned to us. So every single military chaplain, including those endorsed and serving, are loaned to the military archdiocese by a local bishop or local authority. So, and then they come back and they land back in their diocese. They become pastors. They tell testimonies like they told you, thank God. But it's that's the one thing I found. I think a lot of people in the world don't know that very simple fact, but it's a critical one, because it helps people understand, support, and see that the chaplains are part of also another Dawson family, and they're loaned to us. So we have to that's another reality. It's really important, and I think very noticeable and an important fact to think about.
And one of the retired priests who came back to work in the parish, who was a brigadier general in the United States Army, was the chaplain to one Elvis Presley in Germany in the late 1950s. Isn't that something?
Well, I hope he got him to sing at Mass in the choir at the very least.
I think he did. How does the Archdiocese sustain itself? Because there's no funding that comes from the United States government.
No, that's right. It's zero, right? So the Archdiocese is totally funded by donations, and people might know, but every 3 years, there's a second collection in the United States for the military Archdiocese. And then there's donors, there's benefactors, people that have benefited, people that support the project of the Archdiocese of Military. So we have a lot of donors. There's a beautiful magazine called Salute Magazine. You don't have to give anything to get it. You can just go on milarch.org and sign up. You kind of get the news, and you see the stories of seminarians, priests, kind of even of our troops, Catholics who are in there. It's a very beautiful, comes out 4 times a year. But obviously donors get that. But we do need support. The Archdiocese relies on donations. And of course, we had to fly 27 soldiers to California 3 weeks ago. It's not cheap, but it's important. That's the only way we can function, to get people to discern, to come. And of course, running the Archdiocese and, you know, sacramental records, there's a chancery office, there's a tribunal. There's all the regular functionings of a regular diocese, but it's global, and it does a great job with very few people. So it's a hardworking, very dedicated staff that loves the Lord. works well. Of course, Archbishop Brillio is our archbishop, and I've met the team. They're great. We have chaplains that live nearby that help us, and it's a real team effort in every sense. And there's a great sense. We military chaplains have to come and go on retreat together, have gatherings to share fraternity by branch and all together. So all these things do take some funding, some donations. So that's a part of it too. And I think the more people become aware of the need for priests to pray and the need for service, all these Catholics, so many Catholics in the military, and even there's programs now for evangelization, for catechesis, for marriage counseling. All those things that every diocese runs, the archdiocese also runs kind of in a different way, but in a global sense. So it's a real act of God, and I'm getting to know it more and more, and we have incredible people doing incredible things, and it's amazing. I'm impressed. Some of it, I confess, I didn't know a lot about. I knew about the priests and chaplaincy, but I didn't realize the magnanimity of the what's needed for resources, but also the magnanimity of the evangelization, the outreach that we do. As an archdiocese and vocations office, obviously a major component of that, we need everybody's help to promote vocations, military and civilian. And we get help. We get help from priests, from bishops, from certainly even our own seminarians. I've been out and around, and other seminarians, question them. They want to understand what they're doing, how they heard this calling, and to meet a young man that wants to be a priest. And then sometimes others are formed, they're soldiers. They're soldiers who put down their weapons and pick up the Eucharist and go back out there. That's what some of these guys are doing. Can you imagine how impressive that is to meet these people that have been in combat situations or they've been in the military active, and they see the hunger and the lack of priests. So they literally answer the call to just not be doing the former job they were or whatever they were doing in the military, and then they come into seminary and then they go back out with the soldiers and families that they're going to serve. It's a very impressive situation to walk by these people, get to know them. It's extraordinary, really. So my priesthood has been filled by the witness of our own seminarians. I'm sure soon enough I'll start meeting more of the chaplains. I know some of them, but I think I'll be meeting more and more. And that's part of my ministry. I'm excited, looking forward to, actually.
And as we pray for more vocations, Father Tyone, in the Archdiocese for the military services, pray a prayer of thanksgiving to Pope St. John Paul II, who began the Archdiocese just 30 years ago, back in 1985. And I know you've got the 30th anniversary Memorial Mass coming up in the middle of May at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington.
Yeah, exactly. Archbishop Brillio will be there. And St. John Paul II founded our Archdiocese, and Cardinal O'Brien was the founding Archbishop. And imagine, it came to the realization of the Holy Father saw that the United States military was so big and so vast. And imagine people moving around, going on installations. Imagine you're engaged to be married and your fiance's in Chicago and you're on out in a small base in Iraq and you got to do marriage preparation. Obviously, there's going to be different needs and circumstances than a quote-unquote normal situation. So that's why the Archdiocese was formed, to be able to meet the needs of our military and to kind of be adaptive and fluid and faithful at the same time. So John Paul II, we're grateful. Our Archdiocese was founded by the saint, by St. John Paul II. Cardinal O'Brien, now today, the building I live in is named after him. It's the Cardinal Edwin F. O'Brien Pastoral Center. He was my rector in Rome, so I have a great affection. When I pulled up the first day and see his name there, I was honestly very, very touched by that, too. I have a personal gratitude to him in my own formation for priesthood, and now seeing Archbishop Brillio doing an amazing job as well with the very challenging archdiocese. It's so global. So, yeah, John Paul II recognized the need and put all the Catholics and military into one archdiocese, and again, we share land and properties with every other one, and we're integrated. It's like hands, it's like I see that picture, two hands praying clasped together, and the archdiocese like clasped every other diocese and territory in the world and anywhere where there's American servicemen and women serving in and out of harm's way. And there's something beautiful about that our archdiocese is part of every other diocese, and it's unique. It's global. It's Catholic. It's founded by a saint, and it's got a lot of work to do that's critical and important for us. And again, in the days in which we live, we should never forget forget our military, our soldiers and their families who sacrifice every day. And most people don't notice it. But I think the Archdiocese is an answer to their prayers, trying to address all their needs as best we can, especially to give them priests, really good priests. And that's something we're hoping to get some help to do. So I don't know. Sometimes we have a new website. It's millarch.org. But it's just launched. I'm reading most of it as I go. But it's a nice place to get a little more information and kind of see even how does a man sign up to be a priest. You might know someone who's in the service. maybe a man who's contemplating priesthood, to even maybe make him aware of co-sponsorship. A lot of people have no idea. Seminarians might not know. So the more lay people know as well, the better it is to pray for things, but also to kind of, you know, even people here on the show today, they might, three people tell the right person. We might get two vocations out of it, and then one's ordained. You know, you don't know how it works. Yeah. That's how the Lord works. So it's simple steps and good information. So I appreciate you having me on today, as I'm really passionately amazed at what I've been discovering in the ministry. So, but we need everybody's help to do it. So I'm grateful for your time to be on here.
When a priest becomes a part of the archdiocese, does he also become a commissioned military officer?
That's right. Yeah, so exactly. So that's right. So they're a member of the military and they're endorsed by the archdiocese, but they are they're an officer in whatever branch they're in. So that's an interesting point to bring up. So that is part of it. And they become a member. So some seminarians, some soldiers will what's called separate. They'll get out of the military, come into the seminary, and then go back in after they're commissioned. And others will be commissioned as they go along and do some kind of preparations and what we call drilling or officer training, depending. Every seminarian, every branch has different requirements. They're totally different, sometimes in some ways, from each other. So I'm learning all that as well. We have great chaplains. We have an Air Force chaplain recruiters. We have two Catholic, these are all Catholic priests. We have two Army Catholic recruiters. We have Navy and Air Force, and they will help me. But if a soldier calls and I'm going to walk with him, is Jesus calling him? What's seminary like? Supernatural celibate fatherhood? What is that like? And then if he has particular military questions, these phenomenal priests we have are active duty Catholic chaplains who are kind of we call them the recruiters. So they answer the questions of the military aspect of the application and how it kind of works like that. So there is another whole side to it. There's that side, which I support, but obviously these priests are fundamental to my ministry, and they're always on. I called one today, answered right away, called a Navy midshipman who had a question about paperwork, about things. So they're wonderful men, and they travel the country. They go to all seminaries. They go to Sikh conference. They go to, all over. I'm sure they'll be at the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. So you'll see the military archdiocese priests, and even sometimes our evangelization office goes. So you'll see these big, go over and say hi and grab a pamphlet, grab a booklet, take a look at even who our seminarians are. And it's inspiring. But these particular priests do what you're talking about. They're actually also guiding on the kind of the government side, the military side, how it all works, and make sure the man understands, the soldier understands who's active, the one who will become an officer, and they kind of guide them through the requirements of each branch. Again, totally different sometimes from each other. So that's why we need different priests from the branches who are knowledgeable about how the Navy works, how the Army works, how the Coast Guard works, how the Space Force works. You know, there's all different things. So that's kind of how it goes.
Pray for the vocations to the Archdiocese for military services in the United States. I know that you pray for vocations every single day, but this is the little extra prayer. And learn more about it online at milarch.org, MILARCH.org. We'll put that up on X and on our Drew Mariani show page. Father Marcel Tyone, the new vocation director of the Archdiocese for the Military Services in the USA. You remain in our prayers daily, Father Tyone. Thank you.
God bless you, John.
Thank you. Always great to have your voice back here on Relevant Radio. John Harper in for Drew this afternoon on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Viviana, who's listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, live, coming up. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Chaplet just minutes away. John Harper in for Drew today. 888-914-9149 for your prayer intentions. 888-914-9149. Just talking about not only vocations, but vocations to the military and the Archdiocese of Military Services. Jim joining us in San Diego, obviously a very big naval base. Jim, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much. I was 24 years active duty Navy, retired about 10 years ago. My experience was we had Catholic chaplains that were able to be deployed. And I was fortunate to, from Adak, Alaska, to Iraq, to Kuwait, to have access to Catholic chaplains. And it was really a great resource, and not just for Catholics, but really for everybody. And so I can't emphasize enough how important this topic is. My son is currently a Marine Corps officer, and he recently deployed for 9 months, and they had almost zero access to Catholic chaplains. And he spearheaded getting the Catholic group together on the unit he was deployed with, and even that was a bit of a task. And so I just, it's heartwarming to hear that this is happening. It's such a great need. And it's amazing how spiritual people can get when they're like in places like Kuwait or Iraq, you know, no atheists and foxholes kind of thing.
Right, so right. Well, thank you for your service and also for your son. What's your son's first name? Because we'll include his intention in the chaplet coming up next. What's his first name?
Yeah, so I don't want to embarrass him, but his name is Brennan, and he's currently active duty Marine Corps officer. And so not just him, but everyone in his unit, in the battalion, and you know, Navy-wide, there's just such a deep need. And I think this is just a representation of what's happening, you know, in the general culture. But really heartwarming to hear the story.
Your amazing witness, Jim, and thank you. It's the perfect punctuation to our hour on vocations. Jim, listening in San Diego on Relevant Radio 1000, and we're ready to take your prayer intentions. 888-914-9149. We pray the chaplet of divine mercy coming up in the next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.